provided through the annual public notice on January 8th, 2015, faxed into three newspapers designated by the board, the Hunterdon Democrat, Hunterdon Review, and the Express Times, posting on the district website, the main bulletin board, in the administrative offices, and in each Clinton Township school, and finally faxing to the clerk of Clinton Township. Mr. Juskowitz, will you please have a roll call?
Mrs. Grant?
Here.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Here.
Mrs. Hand?
Here.
Mr. Malloy?
Here.
Mrs. McHugh?
Here.
Mr. McTiernan? Mr. Petuto? Mr. Sturgis?
Here.
Mrs. Vanderhoff?
Thank you. Mr. Petuto, would you please lead the meeting with the pledge of allegiance?
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Malloy, would you please be process guardian for tonight's meeting?
Yes.
Thank you, sir. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the monthly board meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education. Today is Monday, April 27th, 2015. We have a very busy agenda this evening. I'd like to review the larger items on the agenda with everyone before we get started. This evening, we are very lucky to have a presentation made by the students from CTMS. Tonight, they'll review the process and all of their hard work that they did to make their annual fundraiser for the American Cancer Society called Relay for Life the absolute success it is every year. They are led by their teacher, Ms. Diane Cormican, who is also in attendance this evening. I had the pleasure to attend this event myself, and I am very eager for them to share with you all of their hard work and the absolute success they had at the end. Tonight is our official public budget hearing. Dr. Clark and Mr. Juskowitz, our business administrator, will present to the Board of Education the proposed budget for the 2015-16 school year. The board will ask questions of Dr. Clark and Mr. Juskowitz, and then members of the Board of Education will vote on whether or not to adopt the proposed budget for 2015-16. I'd like to take a moment to briefly summarize the process the board and our administration went through that brings us here to tonight's vote. The Facilities and Finance Committee, along with Dr. Clark, our Superintendent of Schools, and Mr. Juskowitz, started working on the budget in the October timeframe. Other committees, like our Policy and Curriculum, Personnel Negotiations Committees, also met to talk about the specific needs within their committee's area of responsibility. And they provided feedback to those who were working on the budget. The Facilities and Finance Committee met on numerous occasions to discuss various aspects of the budget. On March 9th, Dr. Clark and Mr. Juskowitz reviewed with the board and the members of the public the process that they went through to formulate a needs-based budget. Dr. Clark and Mr. Juskowitz presented a preliminary budget to the Facilities and Finance Committee. The committee reviewed the preliminary budget and then asked Dr. Clark and Mr. Juskowitz a series of questions. On March 16th, 2015, Dr. Clark and Mr. Juskowitz presented the preliminary budget for the 2015-16 academic year to the board in a special public meeting. At that time, members of the board were provided an opportunity to ask questions and make comments regarding the proposed budget. The public was also invited to the microphone during that public comment section on that evening to ask questions about the budget. After questions by both the board and members of the public, the board voted to adopt the preliminary budget. Mr. Juskowitz submitted the approved preliminary budget to the executive county superintendent for his review and approval at the end of that week. After his review, the executive county superintendent approved our preliminary budget. Once again, tonight is our public hearing on the proposed 2015 budget. Dr. Clark, along with Mr. Juskowitz, will present the budget for final review by the Board of Education. Board members will once again have an opportunity to ask questions. Once members of the board conclude asking questions, I will open the floor up to the public for their questions concerning the budget. During the Facilities and Finance Committee meeting report, we will vote on whether to adopt the proposed budget this evening. We Moving on to our second largest item tonight, our district strategic planning report. In December 2014 and January 2015, members of our community, members of our district staff, members of our school administration, and members of our Board of Education worked to complete the district strategic plan with guidance from our NJSBA representative, Ms. Gwen Thornton. Ms. Thornton guided us through the strategic planning process over the course of three meetings. As a result of these three very productive sessions, the district strategic plan was completed. Since the completion of that plan, Dr. Clark has worked with her staff to develop an action plan that's designed to ensure that the district strategic plan is carried out and all the goals of that plan are achieved. Tonight, Dr. Clark will briefly review that action plan with us. Towards the end of our meeting tonight, we will have a very long executive session plan. We'll discuss various topics during that meeting, and that section of this meeting will take 60 minutes. That concludes my comments for this evening. I'd like to move on to the report of our superintendent, Dr. Clark.
Good evening, everyone. As always, I love seeing your smiling faces out there in the audience. So thank you for coming out tonight. I'm going to do my superintendent's report in two parts, if it's okay. What I'd like to do is do the normal report and then hand it over to our wonderful students and teacher. And then once they complete their presentation, I have a lot of topics to discuss with you. And so what I thought was then the students can go home to get some rest, and I can move on to the other topics for you. Okay. So the enrollment report is 1464, holding steady around that number. The suspension report, one day in-school suspension at Round Valley School. We have an HIB report, harassment, intimidation, bullying. Two at Patrick McGarren reported, all determined not to be HIV, and two at the middle school, all determined not to be HIV. So I'd like to introduce Diane Cormican and her students for the Relay for Life presentation.
This is going to be a little tricky for the board members in the front because the pictures are behind you. So you're going to get a workout with your necks tonight. Good evening, everybody. I'm the enrichment teacher here at CTMS. My name is Diane Cormican. Thank you for inviting us to tell you about the 2015 Relay for Life. It was held on Friday, February 20th, and many of you here were in attendance, and I want to thank you very much for all your support this year and in previous years and in years to come. The CTMS Relay for Life started 5 years ago when a seventh grader at that time named Caitlin Downey told me about her mom's battle with cancer, gave me some information about the American Cancer Society's Relay for Life program, and asked if we could sponsor one here at the middle school. The students got on board and the relay has become an annual event ever since. Each year, I work with a group of students in seventh and eighth grade who are on the organizational committee for the Relay for Life. We started out that first year with 9 kids. This year we had 47. And up there on the screen you can see the seventh grade team and the eighth grade team. And they started in about October to plan the event, and we have a few of them here tonight to tell you about it. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Billy Moyer. Each person who signs up for the Relay for Life online is asked to make their own personal fundraising page. Then you get your friends and family, even those who live far away, to make a donation to the ACS online. This is my page. I raised $670 in the search for a cure. As you can see from the CTMS page, our total for this year was $38,783. That is the most we have ever raised in 1 year.
Hello, my name is Rebecca. Rebecca Besmick. One of the greatest things about the Relay for Life is how it brings people together. There were families with little kids, teenagers, grandparents, teachers and staff, and people from our community. The cheerleaders performed, the Girl Scouts ran a children's area, and several organizations had information tables. ShopRite donated the food, and 13 other businesses sponsored us. It's amazing how many people can come together for this cause.
Hello.
My name is Julia Malik. The night of the relay is a lot of fun. One of my favorite parts is being a cop and putting people in jail. For a $5 donation, you can have anyone put in jail, and they can't get out until someone pays $5 to get them out. It is a riot to see our teachers in jail. Here on the screen is Mr. Tariff, who got thrown in jail 7 times. Our jail raised over $850 on the night of the event. The ACS has a relay motto. That is, remember, celebrate, and fight back. That is just what we did on the night of the relay. There were many survivors and caregivers who came out for this event. The Luminaria ceremony was a time to honor and remember those who have battled cancer.
The Relay for Life is an outstanding community service opportunity and teaches students to be productive citizens and team players, helping out their community while having a great time. Our goal is that one day soon, our students will learn about cancer in history class, not from personal experience. Thank you so much for supporting this event this year and in years to come. Right now, our grand total for 5 years running is $155,911 for the American Cancer Society. Thank you.
First, I would like to thank you and let you know heartfelt how much this school and this community appreciates what you've done with this program. You have truly learned about how to make a difference in people's lives. And I thank you and I honor you. Thank you. I would also like to share a little bit about the enrichment program at the middle school, because Relay for Life is really a product of growing from that program. We have an enrichment program here that was based on University of Connecticut research with Joseph Renzulli, and is called Enrichment for All. Not all districts use this program. Really good districts use this program. And the reason why is because it encourages the students and their ideas and their creativity, and it only blossoms when you have a wonderful, supportive teacher who's kind of game for any idea that comes her way. And that's Ms. Cormican. So I would like to thank her especially for just accepting all of the great ideas our kids come up with and finding a way to make them work and help them blossom. So thank you. Go home and rest. That too.
job, guys. Thank you.
So while the kids are going home to do their homework, let me share a little of mine with you. One of the things that we tried to do this year is bring some different speakers in and help with some issues we saw with our students that we talked to our counselors about. And there were a lot of things that were not pretty things that are sometimes hard for us to acknowledge that our children, our families in Clinton Township may be experiencing. One of them is depression and suicide. And we know this exists even in our wonderful community. And so one of the things that we wanted to do is to bring in some different speakers. And I wanted to make sure you were all aware, and I know there was a notice sent out about it, but there's a presentation for adults by John Halligan on May 4th at the middle school from 7 to 8:30 p.m. It's a really important discussion for us to have, to be part of, to listen to, and to be aware of. This is going on in all communities and in our communities, and unfortunately in some of our homes. So please make an effort to go out this night to see this program. He's a wonderful speaker. He's had difficult experiences in his own life that he shares what he's learned. So just please make a note of that on your calendars for May 4th at the middle school, 7 to 8:30 p.m. I would also like to share another wonderful success of our students and our staff. Reading Olympics. On April 22nd, we had the Reading Olympic competition. It took place at Holland School. There were 28 teams and approximately 330 students participating from Hunterdon County. Round Valley had 6 teams participating this year. Once again, we had an impressive showing. We ended the night with 5 first place ribbons and 1 second place team. Our second place team was only 2 points away from first place. Overall, we had 4 teams tied with the second highest score of the night. Our students wowed the moderators, timekeepers, and organizers of the event. The students answered in what is called race format. That's restate, answer, cite, explain, edit. That might be familiar if you've been working with the park format. And they stood and faced the judges, which also impressed the other teams, parents, and teachers. The students demonstrated all of our words of the month, and many people commented to Ms. Sela at the end of the evening how respectful our students were. This is not done by other schools. We had 8 teachers from Round Valley volunteer to assist. And it's a 3.5-hour competition. So it's a big volunteer commitment. And so I just want to thank Mrs. Seeloff, Christine Lodato, Judy Lynch, Susan Rivers, Judy Johnson, Tina Rockefeller, and Maureen Zapula, Lori Zakoff, and Sharon Flannery. Thank you for doing this. I'd also like to acknowledge our teams. The grade 6 team were the Great Reading Gummy Bears, the Page Masters, and the Ferociously Reading Fireballs. The grade 5 team were the Chapter Chasing Cheetahs, The Bookmark Breakers, The Mysterious Musketeers. And we had a whole slew of students participating. So I'm going to, if you don't mind, Mrs. High, if I give you this list of students, would you mind just reading them out loud for everyone? Because I just like to acknowledge our kids.
I'm actually hoping this isn't a 12 font at least. Okay. So we have, first place, Chaz Blake, Varun Belusu, Alicia Chapman, Jonathan Chin, Kelly Christensen, Taylor Cox, Ishan Day, Bobby Fasciano, Andrew Fielding, Jessica Franklin, Maya Franklin, no relation, Alexa Funkhauser, Nathan Gilvey, TJ Hoban, Courtney Hoffman, Isabella Jackalef, Summer Johnson, Sashi Kacker, Nicola Koss, Alisa Koshuv, just a moment please, Koshuvkov, somebody. Thank you, Kashakov. Jenna Lebbing, David Lee, Darren Leopold, William Leopold, Sebastian Litmartin, Brendan Mahaney, Olivia Maylock, Maeve McLaughlin, Danielle Maselli, Paul Moline, Adarsh. We all know Adarsh by Adarsh, though. Adarsh, how are you? Jonathan Pan, Samantha Pulaski, Evan Pierkarski, Vijay Ramsud, Sophia Reich, Addison Schmidt, Cole Schmidt, Perna Shanker, there's more, Cassidy Shannon, Harrison Sieber, Andrew Shore, Christina Shore, Emily Smith, Kate Solomine, Guha Sundaram, Katriana Webb, Hannah Wilsley, Emily Walters, Wesley Wu, Katie Zappelli, and in second place, Ross Anderson, Lexi Boyd, Jody Holder, Connor Kennard, Evan Custer, Danielle Menzak, Vanessa Moline, Mike Obermeyer, and Emily Weed. Quite an impressive lineup.
Thank you, Mrs. Hine, and thank you to our teachers and our wonderful kids. I would also like to share some information. We had talked about a little park update, and so I wanted to share that we are in the second phase of park. We've started that process, and the State Education Commissioner issued a statement last week that schools that do not meet the NCLB requirement of 95% participation may be sanctioned. And that is either a corrective action plan for the school, or removal of No Child Left Behind funds. It seems they are taking a very hard stand on the process of refusals. The sanctioning might require the district to do park parent informational meetings as part of the sanction. As I know you're aware, we did two of those this year. And the funding that could be removed is, the way I'm reading the numbers from them, it looks like it's approximately $50,000 from district funding that would be impacted if the commissioner chose to go that route. I'm going to share the percentages with you. I'm not right now overly concerned that Clinton Township will be among those sanctioned, but it is always a possibility. The percentages as of the first round are as follows, but I caution you that these are not complete as the second rounds are in process, and today we received some additional refusals. So Patrick McGarren is at a 97.9%, so right now they're solid. Round Valley is at a 93.9%, so that's below the 95%. The middle school is at 99.7%. The district in total is at 96.4%. We're hearing some mixed things. I've heard districts, it would be the total district percent. I've also heard, and I think Bobby's heard, that it might be the school, the individual school percentages. So we'll have to see. But they also said that they're looking at the longitudinal record of the district, and ours is certainly very strong, and how far below the 95% that number would be. So ours is really just slightly below it. So I think we will be in very good shape. And I believe they're also looking at how some of the districts handled the situations that came up, what they put on their websites, and other information that was given out. And I also think we're in very good shape there because I think the perfect opportunity that our esteemed attorney walked in because he gave some very good advice to the district regarding that and what might happen in the future. And it looks like he was correct. I also would like to share a little bit about what we've learned so far in this process. I think being well prepared is an important lesson always, and it really helped us in this process. I would also say that Mr. Jaw, being part of a lot of the technology websites and awareness of what topics were coming up, what issues were coming up in other districts, and him keeping on top of that, seeing what that was very quickly. And we didn't start the first day, as you know, we talked about that. We saw some of those issues that came up quickly, and so Mr. Jaw and Bobby were able to really get on top of them to avoid us having the same problems. We also learned a lot about irregularity reports. The state requires a report for every refusal. All right, everyone, and for each section of the test. So if there is a refusal for language arts and math, you have to fill out two irregularity reports for one child. So you can imagine that when we learned that we had to do this kind of at the last minute, we had a lot of irregularity report paperwork to fill out very quickly. And so getting ahead of that is going to be important, I think, for the future, and was important for the second round. And I think the state, the other thing is that the state bombarded us with emails in their effort to keep us abreast of every change they made. They would send an email, sometimes multiple emails every day. And some of those emails had really critical information, and if you did not read them quickly and address it, you would be way behind the eight ball. So between myself and Bobby and Tim, we read them all and managed to stay on top of things. But there were some days where it was very challenging because there are actually other things happening in the district that sometimes make you read your emails a little late. So I would say that was part of the learning process. What we'll see now is, as we see the scores and the results for the future, that'll tell us more about what we've learned in terms of academic achievement and what's going on with instruction in our classrooms and what we have to look at there. but we don't know that yet. We'll see. And we're also debriefing with the kids, but we wanted to wait till the whole park testing was done and completed before we sat with kids to talk to them about their feelings about the test. So that's the park update. A question that came to me was about HIV training, and did the board fulfill their requirement? Yes, we did. We're required to have training once a year. David Nash came for the September 22nd meeting, and we'll have him back again in the fall. All new board members are also required within their first year to have that training. So make sure that those dates fall in for new board members. I also wanted to share that we've been looking a lot at policies. And one of the questions we had, because if you've ever been in the board office and looked at policy books, there's a couple of them that are this big. And it's really hard to know them all and keep on top of them. And so we've been investigating some options of different groups reviewing our policies. We do have a plan for that. We have school boards will actually do it as part of our school board's fee. So they will do that for us. They need it in a certain format, and that's a little challenging for us. So we're working on it. It's probably going to take us a couple of months because it's a really, it's very different from what we are, the way our policies are in the format we use. So they want us to redo that. And so Sherry, my assistant, is working on that project right now between the other projects I'm giving her. I would also like to share a little bit, as Mrs. Grant spoke about, the strategic plan. So just bear with me a little bit. It's a little bit of a longer process. I think that Maria reviewed it with you. There were three meetings that took place, November 19th, January 8th, and January 12th. They were advertised on the website and in the community newsletter. After each meeting, we posted progress, and if the strategic plan and the action plan are approved tonight, we will post them on the website this week as well. Once the overall plan was presented to the board by Gwen Thornton on February 23rd, the superintendent was charged with putting an action plan together with the district administration. And this is the plan that is up for approval tonight. It was already put through the policy and curriculum committee, who reviewed it in detail, made some wording changes, and that's what's up for recommendation this evening. So I'm just going to take a moment to review that plan with the board. There are multiple goals. There are four goals set in the strategic action plan. It is a multi-year plan. The plan runs for approximately 3 to 4 years. Used to run for 5 years. However, we found that, as everyone has experienced over certainly the last 2 to 3 years, things change very quickly in education. And so that longer plans like that don't really work very well. So the first goal statement is in the area of curriculum and instruction, teaching and learning. The goal statement is Clinton Township School District students and staff will engage in an academically flexible and balanced curriculum in a supportive environment. And so the action plan has objectives, has an action, responsibility and evidence, and timelines. So one of the first objectives in that area was to increase instructional time for our students. And so we have an action plan to address that, that has to do with full day kindergarten, the middle school schedule, and the Round Valley schedule.
We have the, one of the other objectives is to increase cross-curricular authentic learning experiences. For the teachers in the audience, one of the things you will note is that, especially as you look at curriculum and instruction objectives, you can be thinking about your professional development planning next year. It'll be tied into these topic areas. So increasing cross-curricular authentic learning experiences. And that's integrating technology further, next generation science standards, the writing of the curriculum related to them, the implementation of them, and that's K through 8 over the course of a couple of years, and implementation of the language arts core content standards. Another objective, included in that action would be to increase inquiry and performance-based learning across the district. Another objective in that area is to provide ongoing embedded opportunities for professional growth. We know that research tells us that the best professional development is embedded and ongoing. So we'll utilize the professional learning communities to identify professional development topics through data analysis and implement more colleague-to-colleague teaching and learning. We also want to facilitate character growth and development by promoting a culture of respect, responsibility, and community. A lot of what was talked about in the strategic planning sessions were not just about a school for academics, but about teaching the whole child. And so this comes into play in that area in terms of evaluating the current character education programs for strengths and opportunities, implement recommendations regarding that, and remaining current with HIB requirements and training. Goal area number two, technology. Technology will be an integral part of the Clinton Township School District education. So objectives, to maintain a reliable infrastructure. That's an assessment of the current infrastructure, upgrade and maintain aging or obsolete equipment, and really switching providers for internet access to increase network bandwidth. And we want to use a collaborative pricing structure that the county is proposing for the future. We want to provide the school district students and staff with, you'll notice some of these things are a little repetitive because they are kind of interwoven in the different goals and objectives. So one area is not totally separate from the other. And this has to do with embedded ongoing opportunities for technological growth. And so we're looking to increase some of the tech staff and to work with some of the curriculum objectives as well. We want to infuse technology into cross-curricular learning experiences by providing interactive, collaborative options for the staff and students to utilize effectively in classrooms and really have a professional development menu for staff to choose from. We want to enhance the use of interactive technologies between home and school. And so we're implementing more web-based curricular programs and really enhance home and school communication by really revitalizing and updating our website, our policies, and our procedures. Goal three, communications and partnerships. To strengthen communications with home, school, and community through responsive partnerships. You also saw that in the technology piece, a little crossover there. To increase parent and school partnerships, we're looking at implementing something that the State Department actually had an idea about that is really fascinating, and it really looks like a really good idea. And it's called a Parent Academy for Student Success, PASS. And it's using what the Department of Ed has, a PASS model. And it's really about teaching parents more about curriculum and understanding what teachers are doing in the classroom and why they're doing it. And I think it's something that our parents are really looking for in the district. And we're trying to utilize our parent volunteers in more effective ways and implement procedures for teacher website development, training, and their content. We're working to increase business and school partnerships. I see Mr. Black from the Y program. So we're looking to increase our partnerships, Mr. Black. So it's an important thing to be part of our community and implement community-based learning programs, especially in special education right now. We're moving forward with some great programs there, and involving local businesses in supporting educational opportunities for enrichment programs that we talked about for our students. I've seen some great things done in legal training with law firms and communities. Okay, got it. all right, did I get all of that one? Yes. Oh, a little bit more. All right. Build higher education and school partnerships. One of the things that we've been looking at in Danielson that I know some of our teachers have noticed is one of the categories in teacher responsibility and instruction is really building bonds and communication with higher ed. And so we really want to look at that. Right now, we're a Centenary College satellite site. We've become one. We're continuing to accept student teachers in this district. That may sound like an odd thing, but many districts are not accepting student teachers anymore due to the teacher evaluation process. It's becoming a way of the past, and it will really do damage to the future of education and our teacher training programs. And it's important to Clinton Township because we get so many wonderful teachers from those student teacher experiences. I'm sure there's a number of them in the audience tonight who've had that opportunity and moved through the district, and we're proud to do it. We're an Orton-Gillingham training site. We want to keep that and move that program forward. Increasing vertical articulation with the high school, really doing more interactive curriculum and programming with the high school, and increasing student-to-student interaction with the high school so their transition is smoother and easier for them. And increase visibility in local media publications by promoting school events. And if you notice, we had a wonderful media presentation on the Round Valley Science Night, which was fabulous. I had the opportunity to attend, and our parent volunteers did some wonderful things with that program. So kudos to them. Goal area number four, finance and facilities. Develop and deliver an annual needs-based budget that addresses the financial and facilities requirements of the district while remaining fiscally responsible to the taxpayers. And this is about providing a safe environment for students, bringing facilities up to a better maintenance level We've had some times in the past where we haven't done as much maintenance as we needed to do because we had to divert funds in other directions, but we're really moving that forward. And identify and address the impact of declining enrollment on our facilities and the financial impact on the budget and on state aid received by the district. So we're really working on those kinds of things for the future. It also combines that technological connectivity and advocating, and this is really the board, really advocating for full funding of the School Funding Reform Act of 2008. Schools have not been fully funded since that act, and probably before. That's the strategic action plan. I believe you all have copies of it. And any questions?
Any questions for Dr. Clark? Thank you, Dr. Clark. I'm looking for a motion for action item 15 SU012 to 15 SU014.
Excuse me, Mrs. Grant, I'm sorry. I actually do have a question, but it's not about the strategic action plan. It's about PARC. Is this the appropriate time?
Sure.
I want to go back, Dr. Clark, to something you said earlier, and that is that you received a letter from the State Education Commissioner, essentially warning.
We didn't receive a letter. He spoke.
He spoke,
to
but
the subject.
So the State Education Commissioner essentially spoke and warned that districts may face penalties for falling below a certain participation threshold for PARC, which is a state exam. And those penalties included possible withholding or reduced funding for No Child Left Behind, which is a federal program. So I'm just asking, it doesn't have to happen tonight, but I am asking for some clarification on one, what is the State Education Commissioner's jurisdiction on our federal grant money? And then I guess two would be a little bit more of an explanation, and again, maybe we could talk about it at another board meeting, but if I'm understanding these four items, the State Education Commissioner sends the letters, the penalties include loss of grants, there's potentially onerous paperwork placed on districts for any regularity, which seems to me, and I'll make an inference that it's not designed to be punitive, but it ends up in fact being punitive, as you said, it had a lot of last minute paperwork. So assuming all of this is correct, my question is, aside from the jurisdiction, what is the State Secretary of Education or the Education Department's jurisdiction over our federal grant money? Two, what does this district do when a student decides to opt out? What do our teachers and our administrators do? Because I imagine if we have a reduced amount of opting out, are we at any one point asking our administrators and teachers to attempt to sort of get these kids back in? And if that's the case, we need to have a further conversation about whether or not, one, that's the best use of our teachers' and administrators' time, and two, if that is happening, how vital is this $50,000 that comes with so many strings attached? So again, I just think we need to flesh it out further. It's a pretty broad subject. It just, there's just dots that aren't connecting for me. And I'm not necessarily sure that driving all this behavior for $50,000, if we feel it's not in the board should consider whether this is in the district's best interest if we get close to the threshold of participation. Right now it's fine. Our students are participating, but I'm not really enamored with the idea of having our teachers try and coerce parents to get their kids back to taking tests. I'd rather our teachers just educate, and I'd rather our administrators educate and run their teachers. So just my thoughts on that. That really wasn't an applause line, but thanks. We can talk about it maybe at another board meeting or put a letter or something on. Thanks.
Thank you. Looking for a motion, please? Looking for a second, please?
Second.
Any questions for Dr. Clark at this point in time? No, seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Mr. McKinnon?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Ms. Hand?
Yes.
Ms. McHugh?
Yes.
Ms. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Petuto?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Ms. Vanderhoff?
Yes.
And Ms. Grant?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. I'd like to move, on to the next portion of our meeting this evening, the presentation of 2015-16 budget by Mr. Jeskiewicz and Dr. Clark, please.
Public hearing on the 2015-16 changes to a psycho subject, it is given 3 days a week, 1 week, 2 days a week the following week, all right? So there's a reduction in the time for world language at the middle school level.
I'm sorry, I was wondering if we could perhaps let Dr. Clark and Mr. Juskowitz get through the budget. What I would like to do is allow them to please finish their presentation, and then you'll have an opportunity to come to the mic and then ask all the questions you have. Okay? Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, and so the thing that did change in this is the mending 7th and 8th grade electronic program. We're using it for 7th and 8th. And additional technology within a variety of programs, including the Chromebooks in our classrooms, iPads for music, and if you remember the strategic plan, that was part of embedding more technology into the program. And so we're just reviewing the tax implications. The thing to remember is that these numbers are based on the average assessed value of a home in Clinton Township, not what your home would sell for, but the assessed value of the home. And that may be different for everyone in the room who has a home in Clinton Township. So, questions? Thank you. And by the way, on the website, when you go to look at this, there are a series of back pages for you that you may also reference for further information.
Do any of the board members have any questions for Dr. Clark or Mr. Juskowitz at this time?
Just one for each. Mr. Juskowitz, our overall insurance expense is up $24,000, yet workers' compensation is down 10. Just out of curiosity, what other lines of coverage are driving the delta? My guess would be that our property casualty went up because of our pretty large Sandy claim, in part because of the barn. Yeah.
So I don't have that issue.
Just for the public edification. We have a really long history with the barn sitting here, so. And then Dr. Clark, as a clarification on core to unified, world languages are core in high school at North, correct?
I'm sorry,
can you hear me better, Dr. Clark? Sorry. So world languages are a core subject at Voorhees and North, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I guess, do we have concerns, understanding the needs for increased math, English, I mean, these are core basic competencies, but understanding those needs, do we have concerns that we might be putting our graduating students in a potentially disadvantaged situation in those subject areas when they reach high school? And how many minutes of instruction per week are we reducing? If we go from 5 per to, so that's 10, we go from 10 to 5, 10 classes to 5 a week.
Let me take that in two parts.
Thank you.
The first part was a question about are we concerned about our students moving to high school and their competency in world language? We don't want to reduce anything, okay? My preference would be, if I could afford to do everything, I would. Here's the problem. We have a limited amount of minutes in every day. if I could increase the school day, I would. If I could increase the school year, I would. That's not within my purview or power, and so we have to make some decisions about what the majority of students need and what's required. I did speak with my school. They clearly love the length of the world language program we have. It is not what's happening in other districts. Would I like us to be ahead? Yes, and maybe we can still get there in the future. But right now, this is the best program for our students and what our students need for the future.
Thank you for that answer, Dr. Clark. I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm just curious what the minute time goes down to.
Ms. Hammond, do you remember the exact number of minutes per day it changes, or per week?
It's gone down from 5 times a week to the 3 times.
Right, 3 and 2, but I'm trying to have 2
minutes instead of about 45 per session. So instead of it'll be like a 5 minute difference per session. So instead of 5 times 45, you now have 2 or 3 times 40.
Okay, do you know what the difference in minutes is then? It's less than half, right? It's somewhere around half?
About half.
It's about half, so they're increasing about half what they have.
Okay, thanks, Dr. and thank you. Appreciate your answer.
Any other questions for Dr. Clark?